Moncrief on News Talk.
A group that calls itself the Revolutionary Housing League has broken into a pub in the Liberties area of Dublin. The RD House pub has been closed since 2010. It's now owned by an investment company. The group says they want to reopen the pub as a community centre and cafe, but with the Gardaí now outside the door, that move might prove to be difficult. Kitty Holland, social affairs correspondent with the Irish Times, has been reporting on this. Afternoon, Kitty.
Good afternoon.
And this particular pub, it's been closed since 2010. Who owns it, and were there any plans for it?
So, yeah, it's been closed since 2010, and it was bought by the investment company Black Sheep Investments as a distressed property from a kind of clearing auction house for about $500,000 in 2017. And it's been sitting closed now for 16 years. And the plans that this Black Sheep Investment is owned by Jack Teeling, who is the founder of the nearby Teeling Whiskey Distillery, which a lot of people might have heard of. It's a big tourist attraction in the area. They do have plans for it, and they put in planning permission just in recent months, actually. And I suppose some people would be critical that it's taken them, you know, 9 years to do that, but they did put in plans for 14 apartments, 14 very small apartments, it sounds like, 10 one-bed apartments and 4 studios, and they say a community amenity on the ground floor. So that's their plan, yeah, I suppose people weren't impressed with how long it was taking them to do something with the building.
Yeah, and as I understand it, that application has been refused.
Well, it's been deemed invalid. So they've been asked to go and make some tweaks. I talking to Jack Teeling yesterday, and he said it was like real minor technicalities that they will fix quite quickly, and they'll be resubmitting the plan.
Ah, right. Okay.
The planning application. Yeah.
And that community space that they've built into this application, are there any details on that, how large it will be?
No.
Or what it will be?
No, there's no details. It just says a community amenity on the planning application. So there's no details really, what even which community will be allowed. You know, it's quite a vague term. You kind of think you'll understand community amenity as, oh, it'll be a creche and a bingo hall for the community. But, we don't know. We don't know what it'll be.
Yeah. And so the group who are now occupying the pub, they say they're planning to turn it as it is now into a community. So are they doing work on the inside?
So, yeah, I mean, I went in yesterday because they've obviously, gained entrance to the premises in the past week. And I mean, it looks just like a pub that if you were to walk in, the carpets are still in place. The beer taps are there. The counters are nicely polished. The mirrors behind are clean. There's trays of glasses ready for the dishwasher. So it's, it looks ready to go. But Jack Teeling was told me it's not fit for occupancy and that it's not safe. But we had to wander around yesterday. I was in there with the Revolutionary Housing League members, and they were very welcoming, and they said that they had invited the local community in over the weekend and that they were delighted with it. So their plan is to have a cafe downstairs serving tea and coffee and cakes and that kind of thing, which I presume will be, brought in by the community. And that they have this really fabulous space upstairs. You go up the stairs and there's this really light-filled, flooded space with a big bar as well, loads of couches, loads of floor space. So you could hold big, birthday parties up there, or fundraising events, or put the chairs out. You could show little cinema screens up. So it's there's huge potential there, certainly.
Yeah, and in terms of that, as you said, they did invite members of the community in. Did they come in, and is there a degree of support for this action?
Well, so I actually heard about it from someone yesterday who'd been in, and they said you should go down and look at this, and sent me a copy of their flyer, which they've been distributing around the community, telling people that they've liberated this premises, which has been lying dormant, and they're going to rename it the Anne Devlin Community Centre with the Saoirse Cafe downstairs. And they showed me pictures of people in there. They looked happy and smiling, and And I talked to a few people in who were kind of passing by yesterday, who were from the area, real true blue Dubs, and they were saying how much the community has been crying out for a space, a community space, for years. It's one of the least served areas in the whole country in terms of green spaces and community and amenity spaces. It's around Dublin 8. So they were delighted. And there was one elderly lady, or which she'd probably kill me if I said elderly, she's in her 60s, one older lady. And she said, called Margaret Crilly, and she said she was delighted. She was very appreciative of what they've done, and fair play to them. And, you know, that if you look around, it's just all hotels and student accommodation around here, and we get nothing, and, you know, fair play to them, and we'd be delighted to see it, you know, open and the community being able to use it.
Yeah. Now, they're, I suppose, in what, whether they, you know, actually manage to get a community space there up and running is perhaps a moot point, but I mean, they are highlighting at least a paucity of these kind of facilities in that area.
Yeah, I mean, they say in their flyer that this has been done in response to calls for more community spaces for the people of the Liberties, and in the face of the ongoing and deliberate neglect of working class communities. And, you know, when I was down there yesterday, they were saying that, yes, you know, we want to get something up and running, and we can see the potential here, and it's really badly needed. But they say, yes, it's also a protest, and it's also making a point. And I suppose, you know, you have to take your hats off to them, whether you agree or disagree with, you know, the action. I suppose that at least they're doing something rather than just giving out. And, you know, even if it achieves a focus and a highlighting of the need in the area, that will be something.
Yeah. Now the guards did go down, but they didn't attempt to evict anyone. So from that, can we infer that this is probably going to be more of a civil matter, and perhaps Teens might apply for an order to get them out?
Yeah, so the guards arrived down there yesterday afternoon. There was quite a good number of them. There was the public order van, and there were three or four squad cars, and I'd say there were about 10 to 12 guards. And they seemed to get on quite well with the activists. The activists in the place put out a call on social media for supporters to come down. And so there were then about 25 supporters down there, activists. And there was no shouting, there was no argy-bargy. It was, they were just, the guards, I suppose, went down on foot of a phone call to find out what was happening. And they took some names and phone numbers so they could have, as they said, a point of contact. And then they went on their way about 20 past four. I was talking to the activists this morning, and they say the guards say it's a civil matter, and that they are going to get in touch with the Teelings people and I suppose tell them that they responded to a phone call to go down and see what was going on. But that, you know, they can't get involved any further than that. They need a court order to act on before they start, you know, asking people to leave the premises. They've, you know, the guards going down there have no proof who owns it, no matter what Teelings say. They need a court order for that.
And is there any sign of, I suppose Black Sheep Investments, is that officially the name of Jack Teeling's company? Is he going to apply for a quarter to get rid of them? Do you know one way or the other?
Well, when I was talking to him, he wasn't aware that this was going on, and he was quite shocked. And he said, I have to get my head around this. And he did say, I suppose there'll be a court process. So, I think, you know, when you hear about these occupations, you think of a Hollow House. I mean, they were in there for weeks there, whenever that was, about 10 years ago, when the activists took over that old building on Ontario Street and housed the homeless there through several weeks. You know, that took several trips to the High Court for the owners to get them to leave the premises. There have been similar kind of occupations where the courts have to get involved. So the guards can't just go in and turf people out. They need proof that there's, they need a legal basis on which to do that, not just the word of the owners.
Yeah. Is there any indication as to why it's been left derelict for such a long time?
Oh, well, I mean, look around any street in Dublin and ask the same about buildings. I mean, people, you know, for all sorts of reasons, don't make use of properties. You know, they get busy with other things. They want to see it go up in value. They can't get the planning permission they want. There's a row between owners. So, I mean, I suppose Teeling's bought this at a bargain basement price, about $500,000. It's in a prime site in the most historical part of Dublin. It's a very big premises and it's in reasonably good nick as far as I can see, you know. So they'll argue that they took, I suppose, it took some time to find the right planning and the right architect and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Now, this group were, I think they were, they got their official name, the Revolutionary Housing League, out of a previous action where they took over a property on Eden Quay. How long were they in there for?
Gosh, they were in there for a number of weeks, and that was, I mean, there was rows over that about whether it was going to be used to accommodate Ukrainian refugees or people fleeing the Ukrainian war, and I think they didn't believe that. I mean, I'm not completely conversant with the details of that, but that was their first big action, where they took over a building there on Eden Quay, and that needed the High Court then to get involved, get them to leave.
Yeah, indeed. But I think, but it seemed like they were using the property. They were, you know, they had some homeless people staying there and that kind of thing.
Yes, they did. Yeah, I mean, they don't just, you know, gratuitously take over places and do nothing with it. They do, you know, I suppose they make a point, both the practical use of the building, but with that practical use, they're making a political point, really, about what's happening with the derelict buildings and people, you know, looking at these buildings that are such a articulation of failure for so many communities in terms of the housing crisis.
Yeah. Now, and who are the Revolutionary Housing League?
Well, they were founded in 2022 by the Revolutionary Workers Union, and they were telling me yesterday that they are socialist Republicans in the tradition of James Connolly and Wolfe Tone, and that they look at capitalism and imperialism as forces which do untold harm to the working class and to the people who are the kind of wage slaves at the bottom of the pecking order. And they ultimately would like to overthrow capitalism. So, you know, the struggle continues, you know.
Kitty, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was Kitty Holland, their social affairs correspondent with the Irish Times.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.